A warm welcome to all of you and all of who you are. The beautiful parts of you, the aspirational parts of you, the petty, the unprocessed, the unrealized, the unrecognized. And welcome to everyone, regardless of culture, ethnicity, race, gender, background. Whether you're political or not political, whether you're old or young, regardless of your ability, so warm welcome. Know, even Dharma teachers think while meditating sometimes. Shh, maybe I shouldn't admit that. I do sometimes. So this thought floated up, a very peaceful sit, but this thought floated up. And it was a memory of being in India. Oh gosh, it was probably 15 years ago now. I started my practice. The first couple of years, I went straight to the source. I went on pilgrimage. I went and practiced in monasteries. I was one of these people who found something and just dove in. And it was such an incredible place. The diversity was just overwhelming. Every vector you can imagine. And all of life lived on the street, it seemed. Like people were just living on the sidewalks and on their front porches and the side of roads. And, you know, commerce sprang up and entertainment sprang up. It was everything, everything. And I think part of why that floated through is I wanted to start the talk today with a story. Many of you have heard this story. It's a simile called the Acrobat Simile. And it takes place in ancient India at the side of a road or in a town square. And ancient acrobats don't, they didn't have nets. Or safety nets, or trapezes, or balance bars, or even high wires. They used their bodies and they had these bamboo poles, long bamboo poles that they would work with to perform. And in this story, the master acrobat is teaching an apprentice acrobat. That was how everyone learned back then. You learned it from your family, or you apprenticed with someone, or both. And the apprentice was a younger woman, and his role as the master acrobat was to balance the bamboo pole on his sternum or on the top of his head, which is hard enough already. But then her role was to get on top of the pole and be balanced on it. Yeah, I saw a couple of eyes roll and heads go, ooh, yeah, this is dicey business. So they're about to do their first performance together. And she is listening to him, and he says, "Here's what we do. I will be mindful. I will keep track of you, and you will keep track of me. And that way we'll both perform safely and we'll collect our money." And she thinks about this. You know, she's got a lot at stake on this. If they mess up, one of them falls a long way, and it's not him. And she says, "Sir, I just don't think that's how it should work. I think I should look to my own balance. You should look to your own balance. And that way we'll both perform safely and collect our money." They did, in fact, perform safely and collect their fee. But someone went to the Buddha with this story afterwards and said, "Which one was right?" And the Buddha smiles, as Buddhas do, apparently, according to the ancient teachings. And he says, "Well, the apprentice was right. Because that mindfulness that we have in this high-stake environment, or in meditation, or in life, protects ourselves from harm by being mindful of our own actions, and it protects others because we're taking care with our own." And he pauses, and then he said, "And the master was also right. Because sila, ethical conduct, ethical comportment, means if you look after the other person by not killing, stealing, lying, engaging in sexual misconduct, or by not being intoxicated in ways that are harmful to self and others, you protect others. And by protecting others with your behavior, you also protect yourself. So I love this teaching, in part because it's so visceral. Most of us can picture this, even if we've never seen it, this balancing act. Also because it's true not only relationally, as it is for those acrobats, but it's true inside of ourselves. There's a way that mindfulness is a protection, a balance keeper. It's a powerful force in our lives. And by extending it through our lives, we automatically become kinder, more aware, and easier to be around. I probably quoted Gil Fronstal before. He used to be in the Zen tradition, as was I when I started. And there's this chant, I vow to save all beings, is how it, part of how it goes. And the riff on it in our tradition is, I vow to save all beings from myself, from my own greed, hatred, delusion, pettiness. That's the mindfulness and the wisdom. And then internally in the practice, sila, ethical conduct, kind of becomes restraint. It's a form of internal boundary. The sila externally is an external boundary. It's committing, I'm not going to do X or Y. But internally, it's more about, I'm not going to give my energy to these things that are not helpful for me. Instead, I'm going to channel my energy. I'm going to channel it towards things that are onward leading, nourishing to my wisdom, to my practice. And that internal boundary helps prevent all kinds of unskillful stuff from proliferating through the mind and the heart, through actions, through speech. And it kind of simplifies things. No, I don't really need the fourth piece of chocolate. No, I don't really need to engage in that activity that might be fun now, but have me be a wreck tomorrow or overextend me. And inside every no, inside every single no, there's a yes. So the no's I'm talking about here, the no, I'm not going to engage in things that are harmful or afflictive to myself or others or both, that holds inside of it a yes of a possibility of something different. A yes of a doorway that opens into a more skillful, more aligned, more beautiful way of being. So those senses of boundary, of no, invite actually much more spaciousness. Inside every yes, there is also a no. Yes, I'm going to meditate instead of watching 17 Netflix in a row. Yes, I'm going to go out and enjoy the beautiful day rather than sitting at my computer and reading the 150th email. Yes. Yes, I'm going to be here instead of living my life 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades in the future or the past. Each one has a no. Each yes also has a no inside of it. So to consider these things in your practice, consider looking to your own balance, finding your own internal yes, and the ways that your yes may be of benefit to others through restraint and practice. Thank you for your attention. So I have a couple of brief announcements, and then there'll be time for Sangha announcements. One is, for those of you who haven't been around last week, is that very exciting news that Insight Santa Cruz received a gift to allow us to do a second All Dhana retreat this year, just for Insight Santa Cruz. And that will be June 20th to 23rd at Jokoji Zen Center. I'll be the only teacher, and you're warmly welcome to sign up. It should be up on the website within a couple of days. It will also go out in the newsletter. If applications exceed spaces, we'll hold a lottery. But given that there's very little time, your chances are quite good if you want to come. It's a short retreat, and it's mostly over a weekend. It's Thursday to Sunday to allow people who might otherwise not be able to make it to a longer retreat to attend. So we'd love to see you there. It's a beautiful place if you've never been there. It's up on Skyline Drive, unincorporated kind of it was they were already there when they created the open space preserve around them. So there's not a lot of stuff up there other than trees and deer and hawks and stuff. Yes.
Could you say the dates and the city again?
It's Jokoji Zen Center, which is technically in Los Altos, but it's not in a city. And the dates are June 20th to 23rd. For those of you who that's too short a notice, ISC and Insight Retreat Center are collaborating on a second retreat, also All Dhana, that Kim Allen and I will be teaching in August. And that will also be up on the website and will be in the newsletter. And I think that's the 11th to the 17th or 18th of August. But stay tuned. I'm delighted that we're able to make these larger offerings of generosity to our community, and I hope that you'll consider coming or supporting it in some way. Are there any Sangha announcements today? Annie, I don't have a microphone. You'll project. You've got a naturally.
I got a mouth on
In the best possible way.
I don't have any balancing tricks before I ask for Donna. Just want to remind everyone of the Donna baskets in the back and for the community and for the teachers. And also, I want to remind everybody we have a donation basket, caution in the bathroom, the left side basket. And everybody's getting ready to do spring cleaning. So if you clean out anything, clothes, or whatever. And they have a real need for socks always and other items. So.
Great. Thank you, Manny. And I saw Yasmina, you had your hand up too.
Yes. I wanted to, Jill and Bruce, can you hear me? Nod your heads. Great. that I'm offering, thank you for inviting me to offer mindful movement this Friday from 7 to 9, and then we'll have some snacks and sharing after. We'll start with a circle. There'll be some movement. So some of you came to the big one that we did with JD, and so that will be happening this Friday here. And it will not be hybrid. This one will not be hybrid.
Yeah, so come in person and get your mindful movement dance action on.
And if you have a scarf, bring it to dance with. I'll bring ski too.
Thank you for offering this, Yasmina. Really appreciate it. So friends, we are at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much for your practice. And may our practice benefit all beings everywhere.